Good morning. Yo, is everybody here? Good morning. Better, much. I just keep me awake, okay? Yesterday we talked about how cool the rules are because the rule makers who make the rules love us, and that's what makes the rules cool. But what happens if some of the rules the rule makers make aren't so cool? I mean, what happens if some of the rules, you know, kind of look dumb? And I mean, are you supposed to still keep the rules? I mean, what are you supposed to do? Like, let me tell you what happened to me. I guess I was about 10, 11 years old. We lived in Brooklyn on 58th Street. Right behind us was a park. Now, if you've never been to New York, you've never seen a park. Because these parks are like 1 square mile. This is just a standard rec park. I mean, when you come in, the first thing you see is handball courts, tennis courts, there's shuffleboard courts, there's a rec area, rec house, there's a pool. Then you come in where all the ball fields are, and there's at least 4 of them, gigantic ball field. I mean, the place is huge. It's right behind my house. I mean, all I had to do was, we lived in a duplex. So there was like, you know, 2 houses connected, driveway, 2 houses, driveway. And then behind us was just a string of garages for all the people that lived there. And all I had to do was just jump up on the garage, grab a hold of the fence behind the park there, climb up over the backstop, and then just drop to the ground, you know, quick, boom. I'm in the park, like 20 seconds. What does my mother say? No, you can't do that. Why not? Because it's dangerous. What do you mean it's dangerous? Look, Mom, I've done it so many times, you know. No broken bones. Everything is cool. My mother goes, no, you can't do that. But, Mom, no. Okay. All right? I'll just take my bike to get over into the park. No, you can't do that either. Why not? Because you could get hurt on your bike. Come on, Mom, I stay on the sidewalk. I'm not going out in the street or anything. Liz, give me a break here. See, the reason I'm trying to negotiate this thing with my mom is my dad comes home from work every day at 4:45. Every day when he gets out of work in the city, he catches the same subway train and gets off at the same time every day. Comes walking in the door with his newspaper rolled up under his arm, comes in, drops it on the counter, heads straight for the table, sits down. We say grace, and we're into the food at 4:45. And my dad's not waiting, okay? When my dad comes through the door, it's time to eat. No delays, no nothing. Dad wants to eat at 4:45. So I gotta be there at 4:45. Not only does it take me 15 minutes to go up 58th Street, out to 18th Avenue, truck all the way down to the opening of the park, cut through the whole park, cattywampus, all the way down to the furthest ball field, which is the one right behind my house. I mean, while I'm playing ball, I can see my house. I can see everything. I have to go all the way back around. So I lose like 15 minutes coming, 15 minutes going to get back home. And I got to be there 4:45. The big problem is, I don't care when we started playing after school, my last at-bat always comes at 4:30. I don't care when we started. It just always ended up 4:30. It's like last at-bat. And I had to beg out day after day and say to my friends, I'm sorry, guys, I got to go. What do you say? What do you mean you got to go, man? We're like behind 3 runs. We this is it, man. We got to get our hits. You know, sorry, guys. Don't mean to let you down, but I got to go. My dad's going to be here in 15 minutes, and I got to be in that house ready to eat when Dad gets here. Well, one day we're down like 5 runs, and those guys were all over me. You can't go, man. You got to stay. Okay. I'll tell you what. Here's what I'll do. I will go ahead, and I'll stay. But then you guys have got to help me so I can get back in the house without being picked up, okay? I want you guys to be looking out for me. Check if my mom's watching, and I'll just climb back over the backstop. I could be 30 seconds. I could be home, less than that. So they said, okay, no problem. So we played. I got a double, drove in a couple of runs, got a great time. I scored. We won the game. Everybody's happy. We're cheering. Okay. Whoa, man, it's 18 minutes to 5. I got 3 minutes to get in the house. okay, guys, you know what we're going to do, right? Everybody is on the fence like Batman. Yeah, no, like someone like Spider-Man. They're all hanging like spider guys on all different places all over the fence. Anybody see my mother? No, you're cool, man. Okay, great. So I'm starting to climb up the sides. Anybody see my mom? No, your mom's nowhere to be seen, man. I'm on top of the backstop. Okay, does anybody see my mother? No. I start crawling across. See my mom? No. Down on the garage. Does anybody see my folks? Anybody? My mom? Is my dad coming? I mean, like, man, I got like 1 minute to be in the house. No problem, man. The way's clear. See you at school tomorrow. Goodbye. They left. I jumped down, you know. And as soon as my feet hit the ground, Junior, my mother caught me. I mean, I don't know if you guys have mothers like mine, but my mother had eyes in the back of her head, in her elbows. Every part of her body was an eyeball. She could catch me doing anything. And she caught me, and she comes running out of the house. What did I tell you about doing that? Doing what? You know what I'm talking about. You came up with that thing. You cannot get it. Hey, Mom, calm down, calm down. Dad's going to be here like any minute. We got to get in the house. She says, oh, no, you're not going in there. Why not? Because I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to climb back up on the garage, over the backstop, back in there, and you're going to walk the long way around and come home. Okay, wait a minute. How come it's too dangerous if I want to do it, but when you want me to do it, it's okay? You know, my mother says, I'm the mother. Get up on that. I had to climb up over that thing. I ran as fast as I got in the house like 2 minutes past five. I come in, I'm all out of breath. Okay, I'll just play this really cool. I come in, table's off on the left. We have a big colonial table with two benches and chairs at the opposite ends. Mom is the queen on the other end. The king is on this end. And my brother is sitting over here. All I got to do is just get around my dad and sit down and start eating, and maybe I'll get away with this thing. So I start going around my dad, and I said, oh, Mom, food smells great. You are the greatest cook. Slapped my dad on the back and said, hey, Pop, good to see you. And I sat down, and my dad goes, come over here. You know, in his best Brooklyn, right? Come over here. Why? You know why? Get over here. Yes, sir. I go walking up to my dad. He's at the end of the table. Now, I might remind you that there's an archway here that leads into the living room, and the couch is on the opposite wall. Keep this in mind. My dad says, your mother says you did it again. You climb over the garage. I mean, how many times we got to tell you not to do that? Not many, Dad. I just didn't want you to have to wait to eat, Dad. The guys were all over me. I had to take my at-bat and everything. I didn't want to hold you up. My dad says, didn't we tell you not to do that? You think it's less dangerous? I said, I'm not going to get into that. He said, well, I'll tell you what. Then you know what's coming, right? My dad was a machinist. He should have registered those hands. Oh, boy, were they hard. My dad was not the kind that would beat. My dad, he just hit you one shot, and that was enough. One, that was it. He was a kind, very gentle guy, but when he hit you, it hurt. And my dad said, so you know what's coming, right? And I said, yep. I'm already starting to try to go in that direction so that, you know, it kind of lessens the blow. And he just waited till I relaxed, and then, come up at game. And I went, right through the archway into the living room, and I landed on the couch, as always. By the time I got back, they'd said, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, and they were eating. Oh, I sat down. Okay, I can handle this. I'm eating, and then he does it again to me with my brother. Hey, little guy, come over here. Your mother says today, and he reads a list of charges from that would have sent me to prison for 1,000,000 years. You did this and you did that. And then what does he say to my brother? He says, well, you promised not to do it again. Yeah, Dad. Oh, okay, well, sit down and eat. What's going on here? I did one thing. I got massacred, you know. He does I'm serious. I could have gone to jail forever. And he gets away with murder. And I'm like, what's going on here? This is not right. And then a couple of times my brother got into real big trouble too. So you know what? We started collaborating. You know what? Mom and dad need to learn a lesson. Mom and dad are always with these rules, and they're always shoving this stuff down our throats. Man, we need to teach them a lesson. What do you say we get even with mom and dad? Oh, yeah. And I guarantee there's a bunch of you felt the same way, too. So here's what we did. We decided what we would do is when mom and dad would relax at night, what we would do is we would wage World War III in our bedroom. Yep. Water balloons, super soakers, baseball bats, hockey sticks, everything. You got to imagine two weirdos practicing slap shots in their bedroom. I mean, we had all the arsenal ready, and we would wait until they went to bed. Lights would be out in our room. We could hear them outside, turning on the TV. Mom and Dad did the same thing every night. Mom would always take off her thing, and she put on this smock. It was the ugliest pink thing I ever saw. But it was so comfortable. Mom loved it. And she deserved it because she was a hard-working mother. My dad, he would strip down to his boxer shorts and T-shirts. Man, then they would sit down and watch the TV. I could hear them click that thing on and just sit back to enjoy. That's when my brother and I went into action. Hey, little guy. Yeah. You ready? Yeah, I'm ready. How come you're not doing anything? You said you were ready, right? Yeah, I said I was ready. Well, then when you say we start, it's like, he said, you do it. No, you do it. No, you do it. No, you do it. One of us would finally reach under the bed, grab a water balloon, and complete with sound effects, we would launch World War III. Soaking wet now from the balloon. The other guy finally reaches under the bed, gets a water balloon, and launches one the other way. And the war is on. Super soakers at 20 feet. We are letting it go. There's like an inch of water on the floor in the bedroom. Poor mom and dad are sitting out there listening to the two lunatics in the bedroom. And they're just trying to relax and enjoy the night, and they hear us in there, and we're not letting up. And the door's closed, so we couldn't hear exactly what they were saying. But we could tell they were, which one was talking, because it sort of went something like this. I don't know. And then my mother would do the last thing in the world we wanted her to do. Mom would start crying. Uh-oh, put away the weapons. Get back in bed. Because you know what's going to happen now. Godzilla is in the house. And he's coming for us. We could hear Godzilla just get up steam in the bed. The monster that devoured Tokyo was on his way to our bedroom. The whole house is shaking. We're rushing to put everything away, laying back in the bed, putting the covers up, trying to look like two little angels. Godzilla comes into the room with the door flying open, boom, and lets us have a blast of death breath from the doorway. Oh, my. Poor Pop, he would let us have it. He used Italian words I have never learned. Mm-mm. I never turned to those pages in that dictionary. Never wanted to know those words. He came in and he was livid. He would come in there and he would stand between the two beds and he would read us the Riot Act. What's the matter with you two crazies and you nuts or what? Your mother and I are just trying to relax and watch a little TV. What are you two doing in here? Fighting World War III. I mean, this has got to stop. Now, you have to picture this because you lose the full effect if you don't get this part. We're in these two beds. They're little colonial beds with these little posts that stick up. Poor Dad, after he'd be through letting us have it, he would make that triumphant turn to leave the room because he'd put us in our place. And he would take that step and that boxer short every time would catch right on that post. My wife is my witness because she would say, you made that up. when you tell this story all the time, you can't be telling the truth. That just can't possibly be true. My brother and I were swapping these stories one Christmas. She says to my dad, "You mean to tell me that's a true story?" My dad said, "Every word of it." Because it's true. That boxer short would always catch on that post. And he would take that triumphant step for the door and rip that boxer short. That was it for me, man. I would roll off the bed. I'd be on the floor going, My brother looked like a teenage mutilated ninja turtle that couldn't get up. He's laying on his back with his feet and legs. Then my dad really let us have an Italian lesson. And he'd slam that door, and he'd go into the living room. You could hear my mother go, and then as plain as day, "Shut up, Millie." Boy, do we love aggravating our parents. I'm telling you. Please do not do this without parental supervision. You know, they say as you get older, you respect your parents for what they do. Whoever said that was the biggest liar. Because when you get older, if you don't straighten out, all you do is get even better at aggravating your folks. My brother and I became pros. I mean, we moved to a really neat three-story house. We rented the downstairs. We lived on the second floor and the upper floor. And my brother and I now had a humongous bedroom upstairs. It was huge. We had everything in there, stereo, TV. We had desks with books and all kinds of lamps and stuff. And it was great. And now we're bigger. So now we've got bigger hockey sticks. We've got bigger baseball bats. And in place of the two little beds with the little pillows, we now have these, it's like two couches in a corner. There's a table. And one of them slides under the table. Each one is equipped with a pillow so big, you can knock somebody into the next universe. I mean, when you hit somebody with one of those pillows, it was like, boom, he's gone. Warp factor 10, Mr. Scott, gone. I mean, it was like, where did he go? I mean, we could knock each other all across the room with those things. So we're still playing World War III. Mom and Dad are still downstairs. Trying to watch TV, trying to relax. And what do? We start in with it again because we're still getting even with Mom and Dad. It's just like if once you start doing it, you get addicted. Evil is addictive. And so, man, we do it again. You ready? I'm ready. You ready? Let's forget the water balloons. We're up with the pillows. Buff! Boom, 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 boom into the wall. You know, he comes back. Bam! Boom! Over the table, over the chair. I mean, we're just beating each other to a pulp in there with these pillows. Poor Mom and Dad are downstairs, and of course now they're further away. They're even harder to understand. But at least we can tell Mom from Dad. And so we can hear them down there. Well, after about three or four exchanges, Mom got all whipped up. But instead of crying, Mom had mercy on Dad because he was the guy that had the, you know, he had to leave the house to go to work. So Mom decided she would be the one to come upstairs. Okay? Now, my mom was an Italian pepper. 5 feet tall, standing on her tippy toes. But don't mess with Mama, okay? And when Mama, she finally got that head of steam, she'd hit those stairs, and I mean, you could hear her coming. She'd get to the top of the stairs, there were a lot of them, and I could just see her out there leaning on the banister. Every night we'd hear her wheeze out there. And then she'd open the door and come in half out of breath. "What is wrong with you two idiots? Are you guys nuts or what? We're just trying to watch Cindy." And then her thing was, whatever we were using, she confiscated it. "What were you guys using to make all that noise?" The pillows. "Give me those things." And she'd grab them, and she'd go out the door, and she'd turn around, and then she'd let us have another one of those great Italian blessings, and slam the door, and she was gone. Now, usually that was enough for us. One time, make Mom run up the stairs, that was enough. One night, my brother was evil personified. Man, he was evil and should have been destroyed. He got on a roll. He made Mom come back in there 5 times. Oh, first time she took the pillows. Then when she came back, she took the TV. Then she came back and took the stereo. Then she came back, she took the hockey sticks, everything. I mean, it looked like we were moving. There was nothing left in the room. Everything was cleared out. Yes. Dennis, don't you think we should just kind of like cool at this point? No, man, we're on a roll. Let's do it, you know? So my evil rubbed off on him, and he just really ran with it. So he does it again. We got to make the noise. Here, Mom. Gasping out there. And then Mom comes in, opens the door. She's so out of breath, he beats her to the punch. She's ready to ask us again. And what does my brother go? Hey, look, it's the moving lady. You want to take the lamp? That's all that was left was that lamp. That was it for Mother. She went, oh, no, don't do that. Because you know what's going to happen when Mom starts crying, right? We're the next on the list after Tokyo because Godzilla is coming. And he's coming up the stairs. And we could hear the whole house is just, step by step, comes up to the door. Only this time, instead of death breath, he's got his strap in his hands. Oh, Dad had had enough. Dad goes, which one of you two crazies wants a beating first? The little guy. He is the one, Dad. He's the instigator. He wouldn't stop. You should have seen him. He was awful. My brother goes, he's older than me. He's smarter. He should know better. He's the guy. My dad goes, that makes sense. What? Me? No, wait a minute, Dad. No. My dad's an experienced street fighter from Brooklyn, you know? Oh, brother. He's got that strap. And, you know, I'm 16 and I'm pretty agile. So he's swinging and I'm doing the duck routine. Come on, Dad. Come and go. You want a piece of me, Pop? Come on. Hey, hey. I'm doing this. And Dad, my dad is just slowly but surely cutting off the room. He's giving me less room to work with minute by minute. I'm like, oh, no, this is not going well at all. I can see the handwriting on the wall for this. He's going to get me. He's going to get me good. So I have to do something. I got to get out of here. Hey, the door's open. Mom's standing clear of the door. I'll just duck under his last swing, and I'll just keep on going. I'll stay at my friend's house. I'll go to Paul's. I'll go to Bill's. I don't care whose house. I'll go hide at their place for 3 years if I have to, but I ain't staying here. So my dad took that swing. I ran under his arm, and I hit that doorway at 100 miles an hour. That's where I found the stereo, the TV, and everything else. Right over the top. I mean, I tripped on that stuff over the banister, and I'm heading down the stairs. Bouncing off the wall, the banister, the wall, the banister. Then I get to the bottom, and I hit face first at the bottom of the stairs by the landing, and all I can say is, okay. At least I'm out of the room. Now all I got to do is get to my friend's house. All I got to do is get to my friend's house. Nothing wanted to work. You know, my body was trying to say to me, are you crazy? We just fell down a flight of stairs. You hit everything. You didn't miss one thing on the way down. And you expect me to just get up because you want to go somewhere? Rot, buddy. I'm not moving here. And so I'm really starting to feel sorry for myself when I hear music. Yep. My little brother is finally getting spanked upstairs. Yes, sir. My dad's chasing him around and connecting with that strap. Oh, Dad, stop. Boom. Oh, boy. And he was chasing him all over the room. I start laughing. I'm like, yes, sir. Get him, Dad. All right. Hey, there is no loyalty among criminals, man. Get him, Daddy, get him. You know, I'm just really whooping it up down there. My brother is in the same position I'm in, so he wants to get out of there. He's like, I got to get out of here. The old man is good, and I'm not as fast as my older brother, so I got to get out of here. He figures Lee got out through that door. I'm going out through that door. Yes, sir. So my dad swung, connected, hit him on the bottom, and my brother just kept right on going. He went out the doorway at 125 miles an hour. He found what I left of the TV, the stereo, and everything else, and I heard him hit that, and I heard him go, "Woo!" I am laughing. He's getting it. Oh, yeah. He's going to land on me. Ah, come on, buddy. Nothing wants to move, and I can hear him going, it's getting louder as he's approaching me, and he lands right on top of me. My brother is 6'1 at 13. He's 6'1, 300 pounds. He lands on top of me with complete abandon, man. Boom! All I could do when he hit me was I just went, and where does his face land? Right on top of mine. Get your big fat face off of my head! He says, "I can't." "What do you mean you can't? Get off of me." "No," he says, "I can't." "What, you mean you can't move?" He says, "No. Did we kill ourselves? Are we dead?" I said, "No, we're waiting for an ambulance. What do you think?" Oh, my goodness. I said to myself, and then I said to him, "You know what, Dennis? We're not going to live much longer if we keep doing this." Because my dad came down the steps and he saw us laying there and he went, "What's the matter, boys? Can't move? Hey, good for you." Went right to the TV, turned it on, and sat down. Mom went into the bedroom and she turned on that TV. I said, "What is wrong with this picture? We were doing this to get even with them. They're sitting down watching television and we're waiting here for the Undertaker. This is ridiculous." I told him, I said, "You know what, count me out. No more. I can't do this anymore, because if we do this, I'm not going to see 18. I'm going to die. How many times can you fall on a flight of stairs and do the stuff we do and live?" You know what? It's exactly what the Apostle Paul was talking about in Ephesians chapter 6. I got to read this to you. Yep. "Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first of the commandments that ends with a promise. And this is the promise. If you honor your father and mother, you will live a long life full of blessing." Live a long life. Man, at that point, it didn't look like we were going to hit the next birthday. I don't know where you're at with your folks. I mean, man, maybe you get along with your parents. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're building up resentment. Maybe you're saving until you get out of the house and you're going to take it out on somebody else. But this whole thing about getting even with people because they make rules, wow, it just doesn't work. I mean, especially since we're talking about, I mean, like your teachers and other people, but we're talking about your parents. You know, those parents, remember I said they love us and they make the rules because they love us? Let me tell you about, I'm sure you've heard of HMS Richards. Voice of Prophecy, started the Voice of Prophecy. And then his son, HMS Richards Jr., replaced him. Boy, he was a big fella. Whew. I went to shake hands with that guy, my hand disappeared. He was big. He told me, he sat me down, he said, "I got to tell you a story about when I was growing up." He said, "When I was growing up, I did everything to get my dad fired that I could think of." You know, his dad was a pastor. I mean, he would act up in church, he would act up at home, he would act up in front of company. He was always giving his dad the absolute hardest time because he resented the rules. That's how he felt. He hated the rules. One day he went fishing and he came back with a stringer full of fish. His dad was talking to one of the elderly ladies in the church. She was so old, her wrinkles went right on into her lips. You know, the kind, I mean, really old. And she's talking to him. And he comes in, and she sees him, and she sees him with that stringer of fish. "Hi, Dad, how's it going?" You know, and he had the fish right near her face. And she turns around, she goes, "Young man, what are you going to do with those fish?" He says, "I'm going to eat them, ma'am. What do you think?" He leaves and figures, I got him fired this time. She's the matriarch of the church, you know. Well, his dad was beside himself. He's like, "Oh, grief. What am I going to do? You know, that night, Junior is in bed, and he hears noise outside. If you don't know the story about HMS Richards, he had like a 10,000-book library. My wife knows what that's like. He had so many books, his wife banished him from the house. She said, take your books and put them in the garage. Make your office in the garage. You're not taking over the house. Okay? So he's out. You know, that's where his office is, outside. He sees a little bit of a light on. He figures there's a prowler out there trying to break into my dad's library and get all that stuff out there. So he gets one of these flashlights. You probably never saw one of these, but they were like, they used D-cell batteries, and the thing was like about that long. Remember those? It's like about that long with a great big face on it, and he's got that thing. You could kill somebody with that thing. It was just huge, and he comes out there with that thing, and he's already like 6'5", 6'6", at this point, and he comes stalking outside looking for the prowler. Nope, not around the house. He is out there by the garage. Sees that light, hears some noise, gets closer and closer to the garage. Gets up by the door. The door is open just a teeny bit. There's no air conditioning in there, and it's summertime, and so the door is open just a little bit to get some cooler air in there so it's not so hot. When he gets up by the door, he listens. It's his dad. He peeks through the door, and he sees his dad on his knees in tears. What's he saying? He's saying, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? I've tried everything. Everything you told me to do, everything I could possibly do. And my son just continues to rebel. I mean, he hates me. He doesn't want to do what I ask him to do. He won't do what you want him to do. I've tried everything I know, Lord. This, I don't know what else to do. I'm going to lose my son. I mean, he's not going to be in heaven. What good is going to heaven without my son? And I mean, he's in tears and he's just falling apart. Junior was listening to his dad. That's the first time he had ever really paid attention. He said, all I could do is I backed up a few steps by the bushes and I got down on my knees and I surrendered to Jesus. That was the night HMS Junior became a Christian. Why? Because he realized that in spite of the rules, in spite of all the confrontation with his dad, his father loved him more than he loved himself. You know, the next time you resent your parents or anybody in authority for the rules and enforcing the rules, I want you to stop and think about how much your parents, your teachers, pastors, and others really love you and would gladly drop to their knees and plead with God for you like HMS Senior did for Junior. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear Lord, my mom and dad did the best they could. They sure didn't have much to work with when it came to my brother and me. We pounced on everything they did. We complained, we resented it, and we retaliated. And as I grew up, it is true. I began to think about my mom and my dad and how many sacrifices they made for me and for my brother. How they cared and how they did anything for us they possibly could. Anything within their power, they did it. And I would gladly love to have them back. I did get to apologize to both of them before they died. Dennis did too. But you know, Lord, the best apology that any child can make is to return the love their parents send their way with respect and a willingness to work with them and to tell them what's really going on so their parents don't have to guess or wonder why the kids don't obey and work things out. Please help us while there is still time, while we have moms and dads that we can love, to love them back so the rules they make don't get between us, but the rules they make help us to appreciate our parents and other authority figures all the more. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray, and everybody said, God bless you. Thanks for listening.